The one really fascinating and addictive quality to diving is that divers, by definition, are explorers. The ocean covers 70% of the planet's surface. We've only explored about 5 or 10% of that.
That's Kerry Miller, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Kerry Miller has been writing for National Geographic since 1998. She's a two-time Lowell Thomas Award winner and contributing editor at National Geographic Traveler magazine. And her writing has also appeared in numerous other publications. She joins us to talk about 100 Dives of a Lifetime, the world's ultimate underwater destinations. Kerry, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tell us just a little bit about your background and how you became involved in putting this book together with National Geographic.
The original idea stemmed from National Geographic photographer and conservationist Brian Skerry. National Geographic obviously has a long and storied history with underwater exploration, which is phenomenal. But there's a real need to get more people interested in the oceans and interested in what's happening in our marine world. And I think Brian had came up with the idea of doing a project that was more for divers or ocean enthusiasts, so more in the recreational diving space. And so then I got brought into the project and then just jumped and ran with it.
Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
So I've been writing for National Geographic since 1998. It's pretty much the only thing I've wanted to do since I was 9 years old. And 100 Dives of a Lifetime is my first book with National Geographic. And then my husband and I are currently working on our second project for National Geographic, another book that will come out next year. In April, we put everything in storage, and we've been traveling the world for a continuous year. We'll get off the road mid-May, and we're writing a book about the world's best dive travel destination. So a mix of both on-land adventures as well as under-the-water adventures, which is good for divers who want more of a travel experience or divers who are traveling with non-diving travel companions. And it also helps link up what's happening on land with what's happening under the water. So it's an exciting project, but it's been one full year of an adventure living out of 4 suitcases, two of which are dive gear bags.
100 Dives of a Lifetime. The book is broken up into 3 parts. Tell us about how this book is organized.
So we split the book up into 3 parts, different dives that are more suitable for beginners, more intermediate divers, and for more advanced divers. We wanted the book to be a bucket list of some of the world's best dive sites, and we wanted it to be inspirational for people who are armchair ocean enthusiasts to people who are active and expert divers. By splitting it up into 3 parts, hopefully it can act as a kind of a wanderlust tool for people who either want to learn to dive or were interested in learning to dive, or active divers who are looking for inspiration for their next trip, and so that they can kind of thumb through and see where they are in their dive level and see what places they might want to look to next.
So I want to come back to the photography because it is amazing. I'm looking at a picture on page 22. It's in Iceland, and it shows a diver in this water that's absolutely crystal clear. It almost looks like something you see in a movie. You know, it's hard to believe it's even real.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about that location is that it's the only place in the world, I believe, where you can actually dive and touch 2 continental plates. So it's a really special dive site, but that's famed for its crystal clear water. Apparently, you can see for 100 feet and more. So it sounds like it's an amazing dive location. I haven't gotten the chance to dive Iceland yet because I'm not dry suit certified, but hopefully I'll get there one day.
So let's talk a little bit more about that, because there are different skill levels, there are different levels of training that are involved. So I imagine that someone in the beginning dives is someone who aspires to work up to have the experience and training to be able to handle some of the more challenging dives you talk about later in the book.
Yeah, so learning to dive it's very similar to the process of learning to drive a car. There are certified organizations, obviously PADI is the largest and the most well-known one, that have dive centers all over the world that adhere to certain training standards. So if you go with a certified shop, you're in good hands. And the process starts with some classroom theory work where you learn about the theory behind diving. Then you go into the shallow end of a pool and do some practice, the deeper end of a pool and do some practice, and only then do you start going out into the open water. And from there, you just build your diving at your own pace and in your own time. And some people only want warm water, good visibility, and to see fish, and that's it. And that's as far as they'll ever take their diving, and that's perfectly fine. Some people want to go further afield and start exploring places that might have a little bit more current, or maybe they want to start doing some night diving, or maybe they want to start doing some diving in low visibility or wreck diving. And some people really want to specialize in cold water diving. They love the diversity that cold water sites have to offer. So you just pick up different training and skill sets as you go along. So it's a lifelong learning process, and you can learn to dive, I believe, as young as 10. And then, Dr. Sylvia Earle's in her 80s, and she's still actively diving, so it's a lifetime sport.
Well, dip into this book for us, and because I know it takes readers all over the world, and describe some of the places that are described in this book.
Well, we've got places like Lord Howe Island, which is off the coast of Sydney, Australia, and it's not an island that is very well known. It has 400 residents on it at any given time, and only 400 visitors are allowed on the island at any given time. And it's a really unique ecosystem. They've got some endemic species that are found nowhere else in the world. It's great for snorkeling, bird watching, and diving. And they have the world's tallest sea stack out there, this big basalt sea stack. I think it's about 1,800 feet tall, and it looks like a James Bond villain lair out there in the middle of the sea. It's a really fantastic pinnacle, and it's got some big fish around it, some lots of sharks, and then you can go into the shallow lagoons and see coral and turtles. So Lord Howe's a striking destination. And then you have places like Aliwal Shoal in South Africa, which is on every diver's bucket list. So this is famous for its sardine run, where you get millions of sardines curling up into bait balls moving up and down the coast. And you have whales and sharks and tuna and swordfish all coming in, feeding on these tons of sardines that are coming up and through. And then you have sites like Kona in Hawaii, which is famous for its manta rays. So it's got these ancient lava seabeds, and you get turtles coming in to get cleaned, and manta rays that come at night to feed on the plankton and do this underwater ballet. So it's a completely different world under the water, and one that I never could have imagined. Hopefully this book brings some of that to life.
Carrie, what do you hope that people will take away from reading this book?
Well, I think that the one really fascinating and addictive quality to diving is that divers, by definition, are explorers. The ocean covers 70% of the planet's surface. We've only explored about 5 or 10% of that. So even if you're having your very first dive, you could be seeing things that no one else has seen before, and you're immediately in this place of exploration. And I think today, in this day and age, it's easy to get jaded about, oh, we've seen and done it all. Everything's on Instagram already. There's nothing new out there for me to go and explore. And that's completely not true, because the underwater space, there's as many different landscapes under the water as there are above. And it's this magical place, and it's really worth seeing and worth protecting.
Carrie, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Carrie Miller's book is 100 Dives of a Lifetime, The World's Ultimate Underwater Destinations. It's published by National Geographic. You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. On Facebook, you'll find us at KPR Conversations. That's all one word. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. And you can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.